Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics. And due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. Now live from the heart of liberal Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning, welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Best friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Now here are your hosts, Dom and Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, a Thursday edition. I can't believe the week. It's flying by. And Tom, we got another fine guest here on a Throwback Thursday. He is my congressman, our friend, Mark Pocan. Mark calling in from the district. Mark, how you been?
Hey, Mark.
Hey, very good, guys. Glad to be here. I'm doing well.
Well, Mark, I understand you're doing a little driving today. And I got to beg the question, sir. Is it still infrastructure week? Because driving around in Wisconsin over the Scott holes, can be a little tough on the auto, sir.
Yeah, I think we're going to be able to get something done. Infrastructure and hopefully a broader definition of infrastructure as well, not only to get the economy going post-COVID, but also, as you mentioned, we got a lot of Scott holes out there, across the country. Apparently there's as prevalent as banging your head on a cabinet and going bald. I don't know. But there's a lot of work that has to be done, from roads and bridges to schools to broadband, water delivery systems, energy grid. And then, we want to do some human infrastructure too. And I think there's still a very good chance of getting that done.
Well, Mark, I'm only going to blame the former gubernator for the Scott holes here in Wisconsin. But let me ask you, sir, infrastructure, do we need bipartisan Republican support in the Senate side? Aren't eventually the Democrats going to have to go this one alone?
Well, that's why I think what you're going to have is two bills. And Nancy Pelosi, I think, has been abundantly clear to both the Biden administration as well as to the Democrats in the Senate that we're only doing bills together. There's two bills. One will be this so-called bipartisan agreement, slightly scaled back infrastructure bill, and the other will be a bigger, broader bill that'll go through reconciliation that'll only require 50 votes, but will have a lot of other infrastructure priorities taken care of, especially human infrastructure. I think you're still going to see both of those happen, but for those people who think it's crucial to have bipartisan support on a bill, we'll have one, and for those people who think it's crucial to actually get something done, we'll have something. And out of the two, I think you'll have some serious investments that are long overdue.
Mark, my understanding is perhaps some of the more progressive folks might not be down with the program. I mean, there's not a whole lot of room maneuvering here. Do you think the caucus will be able to stay together to pass the bipartisan bill?
Well, that's why Nancy said they're going to have to go through together, right? So we're going to get some big stuff done. Because we need to, the moment is there, and she knows where her members are at. But then, there's some members who just want to be able to go back home and say, I hugged a Republican today, aren't I great? And, we're going to take care of that aspect of it too. But more importantly is we're going to get something done, because at the end of the day, that's what people really want from us, not just a bunch of, posturing and debate. They actually want us to invest in the country. And I think, Nancy has been very clear. I think she's on the right side of this, and she understands what vote she needs from progressives. So I think you'll have both bills moving through.
Mark, obviously, we live in a state. I live in the metro part of the state, but it's a very rural state outside of the metros. And I drive 30 minutes from Madison, and I find, even the cell phone coverage is terrible. We need investment in broadband infrastructure. Mark, is that in the bipartisan bill, only in the Democratic bill? And is it the responsibility of the federal government to build out infrastructure like broadband in a state like Wisconsin?
under the current set of rules we have, we need to put the investment out there. The problem is, in the majority of states, including Wisconsin, we pretty much have a system that's set up for the telecommunication companies. And unless they get some free government money, they won't expand to people who are bluntly less profitable, right? But at the same time, you can't have people not connected. In the last year, we learned this more than ever, that, you know, if you're not connected, it's like not having electricity or water in your house, right? You need it for working from home. You need it for your children in school, et cetera. So, yes, we're going to have dollars to do that. But ultimately, I think, you know, also, I hope at some point we will help overturn some laws, including in Wisconsin, that make it difficult to expand broadband on your own as a community. You know, I live in a rural town of 830-some people. And, you know, we, until about 3 or 4 years ago, didn't have broadband until, you know, a telecommunications company got a bunch of free money from the government. But we could have formed a co-op, but we couldn't under state law. We could have gotten it from a neighboring community of Mount Horeb or Black Earth, but we couldn't under current law. And there's a lot of things I think that we could do to make states reverse these special interest heavy laws around broadband that also would go really far to making sure that more people were connected.
Mark, whenever I hear there's not enough money for that, progressive guys, I'd like to think like you and I think, well, yeah, we do. We always have enough money for the military. Mark, I don't think it's necessarily a unique proposal, but you have strongly proposed reducing the funding to the military. Explain what you'd like to see, if you would, Mark.
Sure. Well, I mean, when you look at how much we spend on defense and how little review it actually has by Congress, much less an audit or any accountability, it's pretty astounding. You know, in the last budget, we were at $740 billion in a year. That was a 20% increase over the Trump administration's 4 years at a time of relative peace. It made no sense. And, you know, at least to Joe Biden's credit, when he had the opportunity, he increased discretionary non-defense spending 16%. At the same time, he increased defense spending 1.7%. But for perspective, that 1.7% increase is 150% of the entire CDC budget, the Center for Disease Control. I think anyone could tell you the biggest threat to this country in the last year and a half has been COVID-19, not another country. And yet the increase alone is more than 50% more than what we spend on Center for Disease Control. So, you know, I think many of us would argue you could take much of the money that just goes to defense contractors and private firms with no accountability and invest that in things that actually help people, like housing and education and healthcare, and people would have much greater benefit. And we don't need to have a bigger budget than the next 10 countries combined. There's no reason for that. And other than for the military industrial complex to be very profitable, you know, we could really cut back seriously without cutting back on the defense of this country.
Folks, you're listening to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show. Congressman Mark Polkin joining us on the phone. Well, Mark, a couple of questions I have for you. I mean, obviously today we saw the president talk on leaving Afghanistan, wrapping up that mission. And certainly I would expect that, you know, some operational costs are going to go down if we're no longer, you know, warring in another country. There should be some funds eased up for that. The other one, the Pentagon releases their UFO report. We have all sorts of things flying around this world, apparently, that we don't know what it is. Mark, a couple of questions there. Do you think we need to spend more money to investigate these phenomena flying around our country and the world? And do you think that we should be able to take some of that money we've been spending on missions in Afghanistan and the Middle East and reallocate those funds?
Yeah, so to the first one, I mean, you know, why don't we just tax those UFOs, right? I think that might be the real answer.
Yeah, but good luck collecting.
Well, you know, maybe we'll get Bitcoin. I don't know how they fund things. But, you know, I think that is just kind of an interesting story out there right now, but I don't think there's a lot of government resources going into unidentified flying objects. But to the other question, if we actually pulled all the troops, which we're not, we're very close to pulling all of them, but we're going to keep a minimal presence. If we returned everything back by, I think, the second year from now, would be about a $50 billion savings up to that. which again, given what I just explained to you in defense spending, would be significant and could be reinvested in things that would actually be priorities that benefit more people. And look, you know, Afghanistan, you know, has been not the proudest moment, I think, for whether it be our country or other countries that have tried to get involved. And we can't do that across the world everywhere. You know, we need to bring our troops home. So Joe Biden did the right thing, but there should be a peace dividend out of that. And that peace dividend should go somewhere other than just other defense spending. And I think that's one of the things that we're trying to figure out how to grab that and provide that to invest in other things.
Mark, wanted to talk about the pandemic. We'd like to think it's behind us, but obviously we've got variants and they're getting more virulent. Mark, how does the president convince the hesitant to just go get a shot?
You know, he's done his best, right? And he's trying to, you know, explain the problem with the variants. I mean, what we're seeing, you saw, I think it was announced today or yesterday that our daily death rate is zero in Wisconsin right now because people are getting shots. But with Delta and some of the other variants, and there'll be additional variants until we get more people across the planet vaccinated, you know, it's going to be tougher and tougher potentially. And, you know, we're finally reopening in Wisconsin and Dane County, especially Dane County. Last time I looked now, about a week and a half ago, 80% of people over 18 have been vaccinated, and that's why we're able to reopen and do this safely. If we don't get vaccines and these variants take more hold, we're going to get back to exactly what we just went through, and I don't think anyone wants to do that again. So, you know, I think he's just trying to get the information out there. He's done an amazing job, I think, in getting shots in arms, and now he's doing what he needs to, which is let's get more vaccines around the world, because if we don't solve this globally, we're not solving this in the United States.
Mark, we got 1 minute left. Any comments on the January 6th Select Committee, the bipartisan efforts by Nancy Pelosi to include Liz Cheney?
I think it's fine. It's one of her picks, and you know, someone who is at least speaking the truth on this issue. We'll see who the Republicans recommend. Hopefully, it's not people like Marjorie Taylor Greene. That would be a little crazy, but I wouldn't put it past them since they don't take things seriously anymore. But, you know, we've got to figure out exactly what happened and who might have been involved in helping put this together because that was our first attack in this country in 200 years. And I think most people get it, except for people who have those red Chinese-made Make America Great caps.
Mark Pocan, my fine congressman's got a town hall tonight at 6 o'clock. Google it. It's worth a Google. Thank you, Mark, for coming around on the Devil's Advocates. We'll
Thanks,
be
Mark.
Right back.
Yeah, thank you.